I'm Brian.
I'm Griff.
And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and inspiration to help you start and manage and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 243. And here we are, no longer together in a studio, Brian.
I know, it's rather sad. I can't say, hey, Griff, it's great to be in the studio. Well, I'm in the studio.
And I'm in my studio.
You are.
Just happens to be 500 miles away.
Yes. How is your studio? You liking it?
Yeah, I knew I would. I've got this huge walk. I have two walk-in closets in my bedroom. I literally have a whole wing of this house. It's kind of amazing. With its own AC and its own hot water. I took over the smaller one. I've hung packing blankets in lieu of acoustic panels. I'm going to have to buy them. And it's pretty good. I bought a desk. This really cool up-and-down desk with a glass top. It looks so modern. I've got a new chair, but I have all my old equipment, and I'm all set up.
You could do the podcast standing now.
I could, but I'm not gonna.
Good.
I gotta focus.
Good, then I can remain sitting as well.
I'd prefer that you were sitting. I know some people who do recording and they do radio shows standing up, and I understand the energy. It's different when you're standing, but you can also get sort of tensed up after a while, so.
That makes sense. I could see that, especially if for a long recording.
Yeah, and we record for many minutes, so. And at our age, that seems like hours.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is.
As long as the quality's good and our listeners still like it.
We know the quality's good thanks to our good friends at Riverside, who are our platform for recording now. And it's made my life easier. And I love the quality.
And you can do it from anywhere.
Anywhere.
Like we're doing now for the first time.
Exactly.
Well, Griff, who's waiting in the green room?
Well, I thought you'd never ask, Brian. But this week, focusing back on what we should be talking about, on the podcast, it's all about the Relaunch Guaranteed Fit program. And we're going to be talking with three guests, not one, not two, three guests. So from eBay, Director of P&A and Buyer Journey, Selena Lamb, is going to join us. And she's bringing along a parts and accessory account manager named Erdem Yuen. And we'll also be joined by an eBay seller, Oguz Demirkinak, known on eBay as Bold Auto Parts. And we're going to have a discussion about the new, recently relaunched and rehabbed Guaranteed Fit program.
Oh, that's going to be a great interview.
Yeah. And although we initially said that the news was on hiatus till June, it was so eager to get back to work, just like me, that it showed up early.
That's right. And starting off, we have some interesting news about UPS rates. You use UPS, Griff.
Oh, almost exclusively now, and I'm loving it.
Then you might want to listen to this. Effective May 7th, 2023, you will see UPS rates on eBay decrease as much as 18% for certain packages lighter in weight and moving across shorter distances, or increase up to 4% for heavier packages going to farther distances.
Well, I'm going to like that.
You are going to like that. We recommend you check weights and zones to see how these changes may impact your shipments. The eBay shipping calculator will automatically update on May 7th with the new rate, and the calculator can be found at ebay.com/SHP/calculator, and we'll put that in the transcript.
As we always do, or you can always find it if you forget by searching Google on the words eBay shipping calculator. It shows right up. And as you mentioned, this took place May 7th, and we're recording after May 7th, so it's already in effect, but you should still check it out.
Yeah, I mean, those are some pretty deep discounts for packages that have to go shorter distances.
Yeah. Well, that's good news.
It is good news. And another news item before we introduce this week's guests, if you're looking for ways to grow your summer sales, and what self-respecting eBay seller wouldn't be, the eBay Summer Seller Check-In is back and right around the corner.
That's right. And it's a 2-hour virtual event, and we've got a really exciting lineup of speakers and topics. We'll be sharing information at the check-in on how to give your store, for example, a refresh. We'll also talk about things like when to use seller-initiated offers, and also a lot more about summer marketing advice, because for some sellers, summer can show a little dip in sales. So we're going to counter that with some information you can use to help keep your sales going through the summer. And plus, we'll have several breakout rooms dedicated to how you can hire help during the summer, maybe building a good business and credit rating. That's really important. And we're going to talk about, during the seller check-in, the same thing we're going to talk about today on the program. It's called the new eBay Guaranteed Fit Program.
And as always, you'll also have the chance to network with other eBay sellers during the check-in. So don't forget to mark your calendars. Join us for our summer seller check-in on Thursday, May 25th, just a couple days away.
Yeah.
From 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. and learn new selling tips and tricks to heat up your summer sales.
And that's 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. So make sure you're adjusting for your time zone. And you can RSVP for the event by visiting sellerevents.ebay.com or by clicking the link in the episode overview for the seller events, specifically the seller check-in. One of the big news items here at eBay in the last few months this spring was the introduction of the eBay Guaranteed Fit program. Now, we do have members of our audience who sell in parts and accessories, and to them, that's big news. Before you say, oh, it's an eBay Motors parts and accessories thing, I'm going to tune out. No, you have to listen, and I'll tell you why. A lot about this program you're about to learn will someday probably apply to you, because as you know, what eBay tends to do is release a new feature in a specific category and then uses the learnings from that feature to then expand its functionality where appropriate into other categories. So pay attention. Now, our guest this week is the director of P&A for the buyer side journey, and that's Selena Lamb. Welcome, Selena.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Our parts and accessories account manager here at eBay, Erdem Nguyen. Hi, Erdem.
Hi, Griff. Thank you for having me.
And finally, an actual seller who sells in the auto parts category. His name is Oguz Demir Kainak, and his store is Bold Auto Parts. Welcome, Oguz.
Hi, everyone.
So, thank you all for joining us today, and I want to get right into it. So, I thought I'd ask Selena to start off. What is eBay Guaranteed Fit?
eBay Motors introduced eBay Guaranteed Fit as a way to make compatible car, truck, and motorcycle parts and accessories more discoverable. This way, we believe that this will enable more seamless transactions between sellers and buyers.
Now, I'm curious because I think we've had a parts and accessories category for a long time. How does what came before eBay Guaranteed Fit differ from what we have now with eBay Guaranteed Fit?
With eBay Guaranteed Fit, essentially, we're providing an added level of protection for our sellers as well as our buyers. Before eBay Guaranteed Fit, we have buyers who would purchase parts and accessories, and if the part doesn't fit, they could file a return where sellers would have to accept the return as well as pay for the return shipping. But sometimes it's not the seller's fault that the part didn't fit their vehicle. What we want to do with eBay Guaranteed Fit is to offer an added level of protection for our sellers. When buyers shop for parts and accessories on eBay with eBay Guaranteed Fit, if they provided their vehicle information and in the off chance that the part still doesn't fit the vehicle, the buyer will be able to return the part to the seller, but eBay will pay for the return shipping.
For parts and accessories, that could be a substantial cost, return shipping.
Yes, it can be a substantial cost.
Okay, so that's a huge difference. Erdem, given that our audience is almost all sellers, why should sellers get involved with the eBay Guaranteed Fit program?
It's a great question, and I believe Oz will be able to give more insights on that. But what we are seeing on our end is that sellers are actually super happy about that because the return rate has dropped. Buyers feel more confident buying those parts because they know they are protected, but so are sellers. This is a win-win situation that we're experiencing, and sellers on our end are super happy about this new product that just launched, the eBay Guaranteed Fit.
For the buyer, it's actually a much easier experience as well.
Yes, that's true. They have a check mark when they put in their vehicle on eBay, and they have this check mark where they see, yes, this part fits my vehicle. So I'm more confident in buying that part, and I know for sure when it arrives, it will fit and it will be great.
Oguz, I know you've been selling auto parts for quite a while. What were some of the hassles prior to eBay Guaranteed Fit with the compatibility features for parts and accessories that you had to deal with on a regular basis?
Yeah, we were having a lot of actual fitment issues before. And when we hear about the program, we were really happy, to be honest. When buyers had a fitment issue, for example, we had to send them a message to understand the issue and ask them for the vehicle information. And this program helped us to get the complete information ready. So we don't have to send messages to the buyer because it's overwhelming and time consuming for both sides. And this program helped us to solve this issue, actually. And since eBay sends out the return label when there's a fitment issue, buyers can easily access to the return label. And since there's a no delay in this process, and buyers are really happy, there's like a smooth return process if there's an issue, and they feel more trust and more confident about the process, and we were having like technical issues when we send a return label to the buyer. It's not always, but sometimes we were having that issue. But with eBay providing that return label to the buyer, there is no technical issues and buyers don't have to like hassle on downloading the labels. And it also helped us a lot. And on the other side for us, for the cost basis, eBay pays for return shipping. It's unlikely that the event a buyer needs to return an item. This is an extra cost to our business as well. And having eBay to cover this significant expense for us, I really feel like lucky in that situation.
Yeah, I can see why. We've had sellers on our show in the past who called in with questions regarding the fitment in parts and accessories. And a few of them felt like in order to make sure that my part was going to be findable and searchable for people who had a certain model car in a certain year, they were looking for ways to include the year and the title or in the item specifics where, you know, they could put in a whole range of years. Airdup, do sellers have to actually add that information in a title with eBay Guaranteed Fit?
With eBay Guaranteed Fit, they actually do not have to add it to the title. So they can use that real estate for many other specifics that the part has, so it's more findable. Because once they put in the fitment information, the compatibility information, it's already there. And if a buyer searches for it, those factors are already put in the search result. The search result will be pulled in based on the information that the seller has provided with the fitment information. It is still something that many, many sellers are doing. It's a common use, but yes, in short, no, they actually do not have to put that in.
If you have a part that's, say, compatible with a range of cars like, you know, a Chevy Corvette from 1962 to 1967, all I need is the part number. eBay takes care of the rest. I don't have to put in 62, 63, 64, 65. If somebody searches on a 1965 Chevy Corvette for that part, the item is going to show up.
It's going to show up, correct. And let's say you're looking for headlights, right? And you already have your vehicle put in on eBay. It's in the system. You just need to write headlights and it will show the results for your headlights, the ones that fit your vehicle.
You mean that we still have the garage feature? So if I'm a buyer and my car is profiled and in my quote-unquote eBay Motors garage, I don't have to do anything. I just have to say headlights for this car and it figures it out. Now, that's from the buyer side. So, Orguz, have you changed any of your listing habits since you started with eBay Guaranteed Fit?
The way eBay Guaranteed Fit program works on the operational side for us, it was all about having a compatibility in your listing. And it was a very easy integration for us because almost like over 90% of my listings were already had like compatibility list. In this case, it was not a hassle for us and it was a quick process. We were involved in it and we were vesting our keywords in our item titles for like adding more vehicle information. Now, we can just use different words, different keywords, and we can just convert it to something else. And getting more efficient keywords in our item titles, we believe that it's going to bring us more conversion with the accurate compatibility list.
Salida, how can sellers determine if their parts are eligible? Because I know there's an eligibility requirement for inclusion in eBay Guaranteed Fit. Is there a way for a seller to determine that?
Yeah, most items in the car and truck part category and the motorcycle parts category are covered by eBay Guaranteed Fit. The exception will be tires and wheels. And then we're also looking to add more categories in the future. In order to be eligible, the seller need to use the compatibility feature to add compatibility information to their listing. And sellers can always learn more about it in the website.
How can sellers learn more about the program, Selena?
We have a landing page for sellers to further understand eBay Guaranteed Fit. We can share the URL for that landing page at the end of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. And I'll put a link to that page in the summary overview for this episode, episode 243. Our sellers love numbers. Selena, is there some approved metrics that you can provide for sellers to give us an idea of what the eBay Motors parts and accessory actually does for activity for eBay and its sellers?
There is some data that we would be able to provide. Our eBay Motors parts and accessories business generates about $10 billion in annual GMV.
Wow, $10 billion.
Yes, $10 billion.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And I think we also have to work really hard to make sure that our sellers are happy with our platform and continue selling. And so that's one of the reasons why we launched eBay Guarantee Fit. It's we believe that in order for us to really increase the sales volume, buyers first need to really be finding parts that fit their vehicle. And if there's a problem with fitment, that not only are the buyers covered, but that we're also treating our sellers fairly, where if it's not their fault that the fitment issue occurred, the sellers are protected too.
I think we have to reiterate the fact that auto parts tend to be big and or heavy, so return shipping can really eat into margins, right, Auguste?
Yeah, definitely. Returns are one of our biggest expenses. It's in the cost of the label as well as the time. And sometimes if a customer is not satisfied with his transaction and you're not able to build a long-term relationship with the customer, right? So if you get through this process easily and smoothly, then even if there's an issue with the return of this customer, he's going to come back to you and we would like to do business with you more. And because the issue was solved on time and he had a peace of mind of the transaction.
He was a return customer.
Yeah, definitely. Handling the returns effectively, you will get return customers.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And in fact, my experience as a seller is that somebody who buys from you and then has to return something, if you make that process as smooth as possible, they tend to come back. I've seen it in my limited selling. I'm not a huge seller on eBay, but it's something that sellers of high volume who've committed themselves to, you know, making returns efficient and hassle-free for their buyers have told me as well. And I mentioned at the top of the hour, Selena, that there was a chance that the functionalities that we build into this program could expand across categories. Is that possible?
We're always looking to understand the experience of our customers, and that's the seller experience as well as the buyer experience, and use that to inform our product decisions and our business decisions. And so we are continuously watching eBay Guarantee Fit to see how it performs and then determine next steps based off of that.
Erdem, I didn't ask, is Auguste one of your clients as an account manager?
Yes, yes, he is. And funny story about that is, he is of Turkish origin, and I am so as well. Well, I was born and raised in Germany, but my parents are Turkish. This made our relationship even better. So we are not just having a business relationship, but we also have a nice personal relationship.
Do you find that sometimes you're actually speaking as account manager and customer seller in Turkish?
Yeah, we definitely do some Turkish exercise during our meetings. When I first received email from Erdem, and it was about February in last year, and it was about the eBay partnership program, and the content was focused on my successful growth during 2021, and Erdem was assigned as our new account manager. To be honest, I was not expecting much at first. Since I was used to contact with eBay customer help team with our business inquiries, questions, or concerns, that was not like an habit for me, like the way I do business. However, we scheduled our first meeting and he provided great insights and I gained a clear understanding of my business, like where it stood, opportunities, and the growth. And he helped me source effective reports to use for my business and how can I sustain this growth for the future. We are a small business and it's really hard to find like honest people making suggestions for your business. And actually eBay helped us to do that. They are like consultant to our business as well. They can just show you more like very detailed reports, what you can do. And by following up those reports and like data that I have on my hand, I was able to keep my growth increasing over the years. This is one of the reasons that I really like during the past 2 years happened on eBay. And that's a big chance, big opportunity for everyone, I think.
Well, there's nothing more exciting for us who work inside the company to hear about successes from our customers who are sellers. Remember, without sellers, we have nothing. The shelves are empty. So it's important that you succeed. So, Leah, we've been talking mostly about sellers. And of course, our audience is primarily sellers. And Erdem is a account manager for sellers. And Auguste, can I call you Oz? I heard him calling you that.
Yeah, definitely. Oz is much better.
So, and you're a seller, but Selena, you're actually in charge of a specific part of eBay Guaranteed Fit, and that's the buyer journey. If I'm a buyer shopping for parts, how do I do this so that I can have the best experience?
There are two ways for buyers to find parts that fit their vehicle. One is, and this is something you've mentioned already, if your car is in my garage, you can simply go there and select your vehicle, and all of the parts that you search for after that is going to be for that very specific vehicle. And so for the buyers out there who don't have their car in my garage, it's very easy to add. The second way for buyers to find parts that fit their vehicle would be to use our finder functionality. And so when buyers come to eBay, they might put their car in information in the search box, which is a very common way that people search for vehicles. But we have this finder that essentially asks you for the year, make, model, trim, and engine of your vehicle. And that's what we call Finder. And so once the buyer puts in that vehicle information requested by Finder, essentially all of the search results that show up will be for parts that fit that specific vehicle with those five pieces of information. And that is really powerful in that it makes it really easy for the buyer to find parts that fit the vehicle. And what it does in the back end is all of that compatibility information the seller spent time to put in their listing, all of that information is used and matched against the buyer's vehicle details. And so in that way, we're able to easily do a check based off of the vehicle information the buyer provided and check that against with the compatibility data the seller provided, and then show that green check to indicate that there is a match and that the part is going to fit the vehicle.
So two ways of doing it. I have to say, as somebody who has two cars in my garage for eBay, it's a lot easier having your car in the garage because I don't have to go to the finder every time I do a search. It just knows that these are the two cars I'm looking for parts for. I encourage anyone who has a car and you're shopping for parts on eBay, put it in your garage. And if you're on the eBay Motors page, you'll find the links on how to do that. I want to thank all three of you for stopping by. This was really informative. Continued success to you, Oz. And Erdem, thanks for all the work you do making sellers successful. And Selena, thank you for helping to create a program that makes it easier for buyers and sellers to find parts when they're looking for their particular car in what is millions of car parts up for sale on eBay. So it can be really daunting without some guidance.
Thanks, Griff. It's great to be able to spend time with you. And thanks, Erdem and Oz, for spending time with us and telling us about, you know, your experience with eBay Guarantee Fit.
Thank you very much, Griff, Selena, Oz. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me today here. It was really nice to meet you guys. Thank you.
Selena Lam is the Director of Parts and Accessories Buyer Journey. We also spoke with Erdem Uwen. He's the Parts and Accessory Account Manager. And we had a seller of parts on, Oguz, or Oz, Demir Kainek. He sells on eBay and his store is Bold Auto Parts. We will put a link to the Guaranteed Fit page, and we'll also put a link to Oz's store on eBay.
You got questions?
We've got answers. And we have three. I was going to say we have lots. But the truth is, Brian, we actually do have quite a few questions in the queue. And later on, after we're done with these three questions, we'll talk about how we're going to handle those.
Sounds good.
Yeah. In the meantime, why don't you read this one and then we'll talk about it.
Sure. So this is from Terry Dimmick. And Terry writes, I don't like using styrofoam peanuts and I don't like getting them from a seller when I purchase an item, but I do. And when I do, I put them in a bag and I do reuse them as packing material. I figure if I throw them in the garbage, then they're going into the landfill for sure. I didn't create them. I didn't buy them. But once I have them, I think the most ethical thing to do is to reuse them and hope that the person I send them to does the same. Maybe it might help Griff to think of them as vintage packing material.
No.
He says, sorry, I couldn't help. I have to say, Terry, that was brilliant. So that's from Terry Dimmick from Wisconsin. Well, thank you for that. We should talk a little bit about that. I like this vintage styrofoam packing peanuts.
Yeah.
Could be a new category.
It could be, but let's not. Well, Terry, I mean, I understand the dilemma because I get them too. But here's what I do. I don't resend them. And I balance out the equation. These are eventually going to end up in a landfill anyway. There's just no way around it. But I don't like using them again and sending them out because I know other buyers don't like them. So I take them out of the flow for eBay buying and selling, and I send them to the landfill. I normally buy things in little boxes, so we're not talking a whole lot of them, but I would never sell something and then ship it with peanuts. So yeah, I can understand delaying their eventual addition to the environment, which is not helpful, but because I don't want my buyers to get them, and I think a lot of my buyers are not necessarily resellers, that I get rid of them. But it is a dilemma.
It is. It's kind of like, in some ways, it saves on a little bit because you're not having to use other packing material, which might be plastic as well. Is it easy to tell the difference between a biodegradable peanut and a non-biodegradable?
Oh, yeah. You could do this with your eyes closed because the biodegradables smell like corn chips. When you open a bag, you can tell right away. And they look and feel a little different. They're a little bit more pliable, and they're slightly like a off-whitey, creamy color, as opposed to that harsh white that, you can get peanuts in different colors. But if you held one in each hand, you'd know the difference immediately. If you're still unsure, just run it under a tap and see if it melts.
And then does it dissolve into almost nothing?
And I have made a comment in the past that if you don't want to get rid of them by just throwing them out on the lawn, or I used to dump them in the sink and just run water on them, you can always get some like salsa and just dip them in and eat them. Although they're just cornstarch. But I'm sure that there's a lot of people who would think, I don't know if that's very clean, and I'm not sure it is, so I can't really recommend it, except it is something I have to admit that I actually tried one, and it was delicious.
So you could do that, or I guess if you're out of your corn pops, you can put those in a bowl with some milk and eat them.
I wouldn't go that far. A little sugar.
Yeah.
Gee, Mom, I love these bio pops. These are delicious. To Terry's point, it's not like we create these things, but we do buy them. And it's not just peanuts. Of course, peanuts, I think, are the biggest offender. But there's other things like bubble wrap is plastic. And I think there may be biodegradable bubble wrap, but I don't know if it's easy to find. It's probably expensive. So it's all ending up in a place where it's not going to biodegrade. But there's a lot of solutions waiting here, I think.
It's all turning into microplastics and ending up in us.
Oh, geez.
Should we maybe move on to our next question?
Yeah, because I'm getting depressed thinking about this one. All right, well, our next question was sent to podcast@ebay.com via email by eBay seller David, who writes, "Here's my problem. I want to list all my products with free shipping. I know I have to add the shipping cost to the price of the product, but I don't want to burn my profits. Obviously, a product that ships relatively close to me would be cheaper. But what if I'm shipping across country? I want to figure in the highest cost of shipping so I don't lose money. What's the easiest way to figure out how to calculate my prices? Thanks for any and all help. Signed, David."
Well, free shipping.
A noble cause.
Well, the one thing that I would say is, one thing that's tough for me to answer on this is, like, from a strategy standpoint, I don't know if free shipping is ideal for David because I don't know what he sells.
Yeah, we don't know what he sells.
Because there are some categories where I might say, you know, don't feel like you have to do free shipping. And a good starting point is check to see what others in your category and the items that you're selling, what are they doing? And if the majority of the people are using free shipping, you probably got to go down the free shipping route just to be competitive. But if most of the folks aren't, like let's say you're selling collectibles and you're in mostly an auction space and people are charging for shipping, then I think you might be fine not actually going to free shipping. But digress a little bit to, you know, David, I think to answer your question, though, the way to do free shipping is kind of understand what your shipping costs have been over the past 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, you know, some time frame. And so that you can begin to start to look at, okay, what should your average shipping cost going to be? And then you can also do that via calculated shipping.
Right. So I would still have calculated shipping for free shipping items. But
yes,
if you need, for example, a worst case scenario to make some decisions based around that scenario, find something that's kind of average that you sell. And I mean by average by weight and size of package. And then go to the shipping calculator and based where you're located, find the farthest away distance domestically. So if you're in Chicago, either East or West Coast might work. Here on the West Coast, I always pick Maine. I get a zip code from Maine. That's about as far away as I'd ever have to ship. And then you'll get the worst case scenario. But that doesn't mean you have to add that. To Brian's point, it's really important to have some historical data if you have it to show you what your average sales are. Most of my sales, when I look back on the last year, go to, if not California, on the West Coast, from anywhere from Oregon inland to maybe New Mexico and Utah and Arizona. That's where most of my pack, not all, but most of them go. And that helps me make a decision when I'm having free shipping about what kind of average to put in. Because if you start looking that you have to make a profit where you have to have the exact shipping cost for every single listing individually, it's never going to work. You're not going to find a formula.
You're going to go crazy.
Right. So what you look at is a strategy that lets you win some and a little bit and lose a little bit. And hopefully, if you've done your math with your past sales, it should work out so that you break even. That's one way of doing it. But Brian makes an important point, because for years, eBay, and including myself, this was about 10 years ago, we were big proponents about free shipping. Over time, I think the marketplace has matured, and there are categories where it's just not popular. And in those categories, you don't have to consider adopting it as a strategy, because it might put you at a disadvantage for your profits. And that's why you'll notice when you list an item and we have price guidance when it comes to putting in the price, there's also a little percentage often that says percentage of similar listings offering free shipping to help you make that decision. If it's an auction format listing, very few, if any, people sell things at auction with free shipping. They always have the actual size and dimensions in the calculator. So the price for shipping that a buyer sees is based on their zip code and the dimensions and weight of the box. That way, you know that at least that's covered. Because if you were offering free shipping for an item and it sells for less than you want it, and you take that bid, now you're out, not only out the money on the profit on the item, but now you got to pay for shipping as well. So,
right.
It's not a strategy for auction format necessarily, unless I've used it with auction format. You have an item that you know is going to bring hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Well, free shipping. I mean, at that point, who cares? But if it's something there, you're talking of, you know, $10, $20, $30, $50 margin, and you've got to make a certain amount, then having free shipping may not be the right option.
Yeah. And I think, Griff, you made a really important point earlier as well about, you know, starting with, okay, what's the worst case scenario? You pick Maine. As a seller, you don't want to just assume you're going to have the worst case scenario, because now you're going to be overpriced and make fewer sales.
Yeah.
And so you've got to figure out, okay, what's the average? And conversely, and I think this is what David's getting at, he's like, I also don't want to be on the other end of that scale where I'm going to choose the cheapest option, hoping that all my sales are going to go to the guy next door, so I hardly pay anything, end up, you know, shipping an item to Maine and losing money on it.
The smaller your items and the more of them that weigh a pound or less, it becomes easier to do this. Because then you've got a range of shipping options, either with USPS First Class or even UPS Ground, where the price differential between here and the middle of the country and the West Coast to the East Coast is not that different. So it's actually a lot easier, the smaller your package and the less it weighs, to make those kind of blanket determinations about an average. If you're selling stuff that weighs several pounds and is in a box that's 12 by 18 by 16 or something that size, then it gets a little more tricky, because now you have to pay more for the shipping label. And you want to make sure that if you're not covered for that particular listing, that you're at least covered by the formula you've been using to add the cost of shipping into all your items as a sort of overall average for, say, a year based on the previous year's shipping data that hopefully you've kept and you can go back and look at. I think that answers the question. What do you think?
Yeah. I think so. And if, David, if it doesn't, please, you know, send us a follow-up, and also maybe let us know how it goes. You also don't have to flip the switch and do 100% free shipping. So you can test your way in. If you're selling fixed price, take 20% of your items and move to free shipping and see how does it go. Does it increase your sales? Are you losing money? And that's a way that you can adjust that average shipping cost before you expand it to 100% of your listings.
Yeah. And we'd love to know what it is you sell. So if you want to email us back with your user ID, we can revisit this and maybe provide you a little bit more precise advice. I don't know. It helps to know what it is you're selling. Let's go to our next question, Brian. Why don't you read this one? It's from Steve.
Sure thing. Steve writes, "Hello, guys. I really am getting a lot out of listening to your show and enjoy it very much. Thanks for all the hard work you put into this. My wife and I have been using eBay since May 2002. Recently, we've gotten more serious about selling. I want to take more advantage of features like Terapeak Market Research and other data on Seller Hub, but my wife prefers the basic listing My eBay View. I think we're missing out by not using these advanced features. Currently, we both use the same login and password. Would setting up a multi-user account access allow her to keep the basic while I continue the Seller Hub? Is there a better solution? Our eBay username is Karsty2002, and that's from Steve."
Well, I can see what he's getting at. So his wife's gotten very used, and I think they're just currently haven't opted into Seller Hub, which is, I thought we automatically now just opted everyone, but he's a 2002 seller. 21 years he's been selling.
It's a long time.
So what you're asking for isn't possible. It's not possible, even with multi-user access, to have two different views. It depends on what the main account has. And if the main account, you, if you're the account owner, have switched your view to Seller Hub, which you should, you will be so much happier when you do, then anyone who you give access to will have that same view. Remember, they won't be able to access everything. There's a limited number of views that you can set to be used by a user, a multi-account user. There's a bunch of checkboxes that give you each one. But I think we're going to take this as an opportunity to convince your wife that change is good. That
yes.
She's going to, once you start using Seller Hub, you're going to wonder, how did I not have this before?
I agree.
It makes selling so much easier. And I'm not just talking about listing. Listing with the Seller Hub view of the listing page is actually pretty easy, but it's all the other stuff you get that just makes it so much better to run a business. And after 21 years, I assume you're running a business, probably not just a hobby.
I hope they are.
Yeah. So I say you should do this.
It sounds like he's thinking about it that way because he's looking for the additional features that come with Seller Hub.
Like TerraPeak, you don't have to pay for it.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say there's other tools that, I mean, there's the marketing tools, there's information on payment reports, there's all kinds of information that you can get out of Seller Hub.
And I was just using that information to answer several questions for our next episode. There are questions about how can I find out this data point? When are you guys going to add it in? And I'm thinking to myself, but it is there. Here it is. You must have missed it. There's so much in the Seller Hub view that just makes listing after 21 years using the basic old view with My eBay, it just doesn't make sense. And I know, I understand that there's some people who are resistant to change. We all get into a habit. But, you know, life's too short to do the same thing over and over. You got to change things up, whether or not that means going from My eBay to the Seller Hub, or whether it means continuing to live in an old broken down Victorian house in San Jose, or moving to a brand new spanking big house in Palm Desert. It's all change. It's all good.
It is. All with the right attitude. Maybe it's one of those things where check out eBay Academy, or have your wife check out eBay Academy.
Oh, good point.
She can go through, get a little bit of information about the Seller Hub there. Instead of having to feel like she's switching or being forced, she might get comfortable with some of the views and see some of the information that is offered. And it might make her easier to transition to Seller Hub. But we think she's going to really like it. Within 5 days, she's going to say, why haven't I been on Seller Hub for the last 5 years?
5 days? I say 5 minutes.
There's a little bit of, you just got to get used to navigation. And I don't think all of our listeners know, like when you're on Seller Hub and we have all those tiles, we default the tiles in a certain order, but you can move those tiles around in any order you want. So like for me, because I promote the seller announcement board all the time, the upper left tile in my Seller Hub is, guess what?
Seller announcement.
There's little bits of information like that that they'll become aware of as they use it.
Yeah. I would actually bet money that your wife is going to love this after she gets to start using it. Well, Brian, that's our list of questions for this week. I want to thank everyone who sent them in.
And if you have a question about navigating eBay as a seller, call us on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. We have several that we're going to use for our Q&A episode next week. They're call-ins, and that should be fun. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week, and you can just leave a question or comment, and who knows, we might put it on the air.
And if you're a shy person like me and Griff, and not prone to using your phone, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Me shy. Yeah, right. And now your 3-point podcast checklist. Brian.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Need to pack a heavy or fragile item and you need to fill the voids around the item with packing material, medium or large bubble wrap can be an excellent solution. But if the voids are large, try using biodegradable peanuts, also known as compostable peanuts. They're made of cornstarch, they dissolve in water, they won't harm the environment, and at a pinch, are they delicious with salsa?
I think we have a new opportunity for a business.
Yeah, someone's going to sue me if they get sick.
Need to review anything in this episode or delete anything like cornstarch, peanuts, and salsa? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
And as I said, our next episode is all your questions. No guests, just you, me, Brian, and your questions, and hopefully answers. We'll have a lot of complicated shipping questions as well as a few others, so you won't want to miss it. Stay tuned. Should be fun.
Well, we'd like to again thank our guests this week, eBay Director of Parts and Accessory Buyer, Journey, Selena Lamb, eBay P&A Account Manager, Erda Mullen, and eBay Seller, Oguz Demir Kynak of Bold Auto Parts.
eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.